Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Regarding the Holy Quran, the misconception I'd like to bring into discussion today relates to this misconception, and which is also an objection from our Hindu brothers. And they claim and they object to the fact that since Muslims claim that the Quran is a very universal book, it addresses all religions, it addresses all kinds of things, it contains all kinds of facts. But the fact of the matter is that if it is such a universal book, why is Hinduism, for example, not mentioned in the Quran? And of course, we can extend this question and even say that why is Buddhism, for example, not mentioned in the Quran? So the claim is, the Muslim claim which is generally presented is that the Quran is a universal book. It contains guidance, it contains mention of all sorts of things which are found in this world. But of course, it is very clear that there is not a single instance in the Quran in which Hinduism or Hindus are mentioned, in spite of the fact that they existed at the time of its revelation. Now, it needs to be understood, first of all, that this claim that the Quran is a universal book and it addresses all religions of all times, this claim is not correct at all. The Quran was revealed in Arabia. It was revealed in a particular setting. And it was revealed as a book of dialogues in which the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, on behalf of the Almighty, spoke to various people of various religions which were present in his times right before him. Thus, we find the Jews, we find the Nazarenes or the Christians, we find the idolaters of Arabia, we find the hypocrites, and similarly, we find people who became Muslims later on. They all existed in Arabia in those times. So the Quran addresses people. It was a living book. It was a book of dialogues. It was a book in which God spoke, and on his behalf, the Prophet spoke to people who were present there. And since, of course, it is very obvious that there was not a single Hindu, there was not a single Buddhist present in Arabia. So therefore, this is the reason why we do not find any mention of Hinduism or Buddhism in the Quran. As I said, this is the reason is that these denominations or these followers or these people did not exist in Arabia in those times. So therefore, we have to understand the fact that the Quran, the way the Quran has been presented as a universal book in which it is claimed that it addresses all religions, it addresses all facts, this is not correct at all. The Quran is a book which was sent in a particular setting. It was sent to the people of Arabia, and only people who existed there, they were addressed. And of course, the way this address took place, there are certain principles which we can form, which we can derive. And these principles then relate to all other denominations. Thus, for example, there could be certain principles which relate to Hindus, which relate to Buddhists also. For example, we know that polytheism is discussed in detail in the Quran. Polytheism is, we know, was a dominant religion in Arabia. The idolaters practiced polytheism. Of course, they practiced more than one god. They believed in more than one god. And this is a very, very dominant topic of the Quran. So although polytheism or Hinduism, I should say, is not discussed, however, polytheism is discussed. And since Hinduism is based on polytheism, so we can easily say that although it is not discussed as Hinduism, but it is discussed as polytheism. However, there's a big note of caution here which needs to be understood. We must understand the fact that as far as the content of polytheism is concerned, this is something, of course, which is common, which can be common, which can be used to convey things, to discuss things with our Hindu brothers. However, as far as polytheism, the way polytheism was eradicated in Arabia and the way it was eradicated by earlier messengers of God, the way people were threatened by the Quran, for example, in the times of the Prophet, that if they will not profess faith, the idolaters, if the idolaters shall not profess faith, then the Quran says, فَقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْسُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ, that you must kill these idolaters wherever you find them. Now, this particular verse or verses of similar meaning, they cannot be related to Hindus of today at all. This is because of the fact that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was assigned a particular mission, and that mission was that he was told that the people who are his immediate addressees, who are found in front of him, they must be delivered the truth to its ultimate extent. And if they still deny, in spite of being convinced of the truth, they still deny the truth, then the idolaters were to be put to the sword, and the people of the book, they were to be subjugated, and they were told that if they have to live on their own religion, then they must live as subservients to the Islamic State and pay jizya. So this was something which was meant particularly for people who were the addressees of the Prophet Muhammad in his own times. And this itself is part of a law which the Quran states at a number of places. And that law is that the messengers of God, they deliver the truth to its ultimate extent, after which the adversaries have no excuse to deny it. And if they deny it, then they are faced with worldly destruction and worldly humiliation. However, this relates to only the messengers of God, or the direct or the immediate or the foremost adversaries of God. And this, of course, what happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So this part of his prophethood, this part of the Quran, or the part in which this punishment is threatened for these idolaters, does not relate to any other polytheist nation other than, of course, as I said, which was found in Arabia. As I said, what the thing which can be found out regarding polytheism is the nature of polytheism, or what polytheism exactly is. This is something which could be used to have a dialogue with our Hindu brothers and to discuss and tell them that is something which is against nature. It is against something which we find in any divine book. But we cannot police them, we cannot force them in any way, we cannot even threaten them to kill them, because this directive of the Quran is specifically related to the polytheists or the idolaters of Arabia. We can discuss polytheism with our Hindu brothers, we can tell them that this might lead them to a very, very disastrous punishment in the hereafter. But as far as this world is concerned, there is no punishment for this. This world is, after the Prophet Muhammad's departure, is a place of dialogue. For him, it was governed by a specific law, as were the was the case with other messengers of God, that they were delivering the truth to an ultimate extent, and the people, you know, were denying that truth, and they were being punished. But after the departure of the messengers of God, this is not the case. We cannot forcibly kill non-Muslims. We cannot forcibly threaten polytheist nations. We cannot do the same what the messengers of God did in their times, simply because it was a law which is particularly mentioned in the Quran for the messengers of God. So in a nutshell, we can say that Hinduism, or for that matter Buddhism, is not mentioned in the Quran simply because Hindus and Buddhists were not present in the times of the Prophet Muhammad in the land of Arabia. And the whole saga of the prophetic mission, as has been enshrined in the Quran, consisted of people who were actually present in those times. However, there are certain things which can be used as basis of discussion with Hindus of today, and that would relate to the nature of polytheism itself. But, as I said, it is a big note of caution here, and that is that the directives which relate to the punishment of idolaters or the polytheists of Arabia, they were specific. They were absolutely specific to the polytheists of Arabia. They have absolutely no bearing to the Hindus, for example, of today. Akulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisair al-muslimina wal muslimat.